This is Jim Peek at MySuccessGateway.com, and today I've got a fantastic call with Lloyd Chapman. And Lloyd is the president and CEO of the Lloyd. You gotta give me the name again because it's
the
like
American that. Small Business League.
And the American Small Business League. Thank you very much. And they are involved. Lloyd is an activist, and he's involved with assisting small businesses. Businesses like ourselves getting government contracts. And what's happening today is a lot of these contracts are being diverted towards the Fortune 500 companies. And so what we're going to do is have a conversation about what's going on in Washington and how that affects us as small business owners out here in North America. So Lloyd, I know that I didn't do you any justice on the quick overview, but do you mind giving us a little bit of a brief on your bio and what you've been up to the last couple of years, and then we can set the table and talk about some of the players in the space and then exactly what you're doing to bring some of these things to light.
All right, Jim, I'd be glad to do that. I guess my career as a small business advocate began in the summer of 2002, and I was in a computer company, working in a computer company in Novato, California, and a young woman walked into my office one afternoon, and she was crying, and she'd spent 4 months working on a federal small business set-aside contract, and she lost it to a Dutch company in Amsterdam whose website said they had 26,000 employees in 28 countries, and I went ballistic. That night, I sat down and I looked at the SBA's database of small businesses. Back then it was called ProNet. And I found 600 of the biggest companies in the world that night. And I couldn't believe it. I began calling everybody in Washington you could think of. I called the White House. I called the FBI, the Justice Department. I called both houses of Congress. I called my senators and my congressmen. And finally, the General Accounting Office called me back. And based upon the information that I had uncovered and provided them, they launched an investigation into the issue that lasted 6 months. And they found 5,300-something large businesses were receiving federal small business contracts, and that's how it all started.
Got it. So can you talk about the, just to set the table a little bit, talk a little bit about the Senate and the Small Business and Entrepreneurship Committee there headed by Senator John Kerry. And then what's going on in Congress with their branch, as well as the SBA and how that sort of fits into it. I mean, if you could give the short version, a little bit of each, and talk about who some of the players are, so that our folks will have an idea of what it is that we're dealing with.
All right. John Kerry has been on the Senate Small Business Committee, I think, for right about 20 years, and he's now the chairman. The chairperson of the House Small Business Committee is Nydia Velasquez. She's from New York, and I believe she's been on that committee for around 10 years. And I was hoping that and expecting, quite frankly, when the Democrats took over Congress, they would hold some, fire and brimstone hearings and hold the SBA's feet to the fire and get to the bottom of the situation. But what I'm seeing here that I'm sort of disappointed to find out is that if you look at Nydia Velasquez's website and John Kerry's website on the House and Senate Small Business Committee websites, respectively, you won't see this issue mentioned. Now, the issue, which we'll call the diversion of federal small business contracts to Fortune 1000 corporations, in the last 4 years since I first exposed it in 2002, has been covered in around 500 stories. In the last 12 months, it's been the LA Times, the New York Times, ABC, CBS, and CNN ran a story about it about a month ago. The SBA Office of Inspector General said it's one of the biggest challenges facing the nation today. So clearly,
say that again. What's the biggest challenge?
The SBA Inspector General, in a report that came out, I think it was March of 2005, said that the flow of federal small business contracts to large corporations, and this is a quote, is the biggest challenge. I think it said the biggest challenge facing the Small Business Administration and one of the biggest challenges facing the nation today. That's in the first paragraph of Report 515 from, I believe, March of 2005, SBA Inspector General.
Okay. So Because I'm not that educated on how all the government works, and I'm sure that a lot of other folks are probably in a similar realm as I am, because I don't – when I go out looking for customers, I tend to go out looking for them either on the Internet or through newspapers or through mm-hmm. advertising or guerrilla marketing, you know, press, that sort of thing. I don't typically think of the government as a potential customer, at least in my little business today, and I may or may not be a – potential provider for them. So, what you're talking about is really allowing, spreading some of the wealth around on some of these larger government contracts to smaller businesses so that they can build themselves up into thriving organizations and help the economy.
Yeah, to tell you the truth, small businesses need to realize the federal government is the single largest purchaser of goods and services in the world. Number one. Number two, there's a federal law that's been in place since the Korean War that says that the government shall do these days 23% of the total value of all prime contracts and subcontracts for small businesses. So if you're a small business in almost any arena, the government buys what you're selling. And they're probably a fantastic customer for everybody because of the volume of goods and services that they procure. Then you've got the federal law that requires they hit it. So the federal government, is a customer that every small business should be trying to work with.
Okay. So let's just take a, for instance, for our little company here at My Success Gateway. We're an information provider. We've created a e-seminar, and I believe – that this e-seminar is the best on the planet, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And we are getting rave reviews on it. As a matter of fact, we've got a major college/university that is possibly going to, quote, deploy it / endorse it on an affiliate type of, I don't want to say an affiliate basis, but on a more of a trial type of basis, just to use it as another way to integrate it into their, quote, entrepreneurial program. Now, I would see this program being deployed in the SBA as a possible, quote, product for distribution on their website. And we have a link from the SBA into our website, but it's just basically one of those links that says, you are now leaving the SBA site and you are going to a third-party site. And the reason, I guess, why you're being linked there is because they think that there's a little bit of value there. So good luck. Be well, and that's it, and that's fine. We love that traffic. We don't get a lot of it, but we love that traffic. So a small guy like me, I mean, is there a place for that e-seminar on how to teach people how to start businesses?
Absolutely.
Inside the government?
Oh, absolutely. The SBA has quite a mechanism to go out and talk to people about starting their own small businesses. And I'll tell you a quick story. I was in the SBA headquarters about maybe 4 years ago, and I stood there in their lobby, and there was a wall that was probably about, I don't know, maybe 8-9 feet tall and about 20-30 feet wide of pamphlets. Just, hundreds of pamphlets all about starting your own small business. And so they do, a lot of work in that regard. And quite frankly, what you're doing is also something, it's an educational mechanism, isn't that correct?
That is absolutely correct.
Well, the government does a lot of business in trying to educate people in every area that you can imagine. The military, Social Security, just everywhere. So educating the public and holding seminars, the government must hold, I would guess, 1,000 seminars a day around the country. So, when I think about that story about all the pamphlets at the SBA, one thing that crossed my mind is there wasn't one pamphlet that says, by the way, the government has never reached the congressionally mandated 23% small business contracting goal, and if you start your own small business to sell to the government, you'll be competing head-to-head with Fortune 500 corporations. They didn't have that pamphlet up there. I'm hoping that with a lot of the progress we have made, we've made some dramatic progresses, that our goal is to shift around $50 billion a year in contracts, in federal small business contracts, by the way, away from Fortune 1000 corporations and into the hands of legitimate small businesses like your listeners and like, you know, like your business.
So we're a two-person comp, two employees, and we've got about 20 contractors. So my little company could possibly do business with the United States government.
Absolutely. When I first got into the computer business, we had three employees. And I think we were doing about $75,000 a month in sales to the government and prime contractors. And that was like in 1985. So, one person company can do business with the federal government.
No kidding.
Yeah, absolutely. Here's something that the people – I'll have to say that the most commonly held perceptions that most small businesses have about the government are incorrect. Places – I bet the federal government places 10,000 orders a day for less than $500. And most people think, oh, gosh, they're going to buy like an airplane, an aircraft carrier. No, they're just like everybody else. They place thousands and thousands of small orders that are certainly the size that any, you know, small business, you know, can handle. And quite frankly, small businesses can generally give the government better service than big companies because they're more versatile. They've got more flexibility.
Well, they would be a big customer for us, so obviously we would want to make sure that we're giving them great service.
Yeah. And by the way, I don't think they're much used to getting such great service. So, you know, dazzling the government with good service, I think, is fairly easy to do.
Okay, so we're a small business. I mean, you know, and let's say it's not even us. Let's say it's some other company that's in Marblehead, Massachusetts, where I'm located, and they happen to be in the in another information type of product business. How do they go about beginning to do business with the government? Do they start out at the SBA, or do they start out, you know, at the government accounting office? It's almost so big that it's like I don't even know what building or what city or what,
all right,
what group I would call.
It's easy. They say that, you know, the longest journey starts with a single step, right?
Sure.
Now, again, when people think about doing business with the government, here's another misconception. It's actually the government and prime contractors that are required by law to work for small businesses. So it's not just the federal government. There's two marketplaces. There's the federal government, which is, you know, all federal agencies from the White House on down to the Coast Guard and the, you know, everybody, and to prime contractors like Lockheed and Boeing and Bechtel and Halliburton and DuPont. There, I would say that probably, I'm going to say 80% of Fortune 1000 corporations are government contractors. You know, Coca-Cola, you know, just everybody you can think of, you know, does business with the government. And they're all required to work with small businesses. So here's some first steps.
Okay.
First of all, you've got to I would contact the SBA in your area,
yep,
and talk with them and say, you know, I'd like to start a small business, or I've got a small business, I'd like to start working with the government. You know, where do you suggest I go and get some help from them? The other thing would be to go online and do some research and find out what federal offices are in your area and what prime contractors are in your area. You can go to the Defense Department's website, I believe, and get a list of DOD contractors. And again, when you think about these prime contractors, every branch of the government has prime contractors. So NASA has prime contractors. The Coast Guard has prime contractors. The FAA, the Post Office, Department of Health and Human Services, you know, the FBI. Every federal agency has contractors, and they are also required to work with small businesses. So no matter where you are in America, you're probably surrounded with federal offices and federal prime contractors. And then you can begin to contact those. Another important thing for people to realize that by law, any prime contractor is required to have what's called a small business liaison officer. And that person's function is to be the liaison between that company and small businesses. And they're supposed to sort of reach out into the community and try to find small businesses for that company to work with and of course, receive small businesses and help them try to establish a relationship with that company. So it's really not that hard. When I first got started, to tell you the truth, it's a funny story, but I found a softbound directory in a dumpster.
Okay.
that had a list of all Defense Department contractors. The company that I was working for, you know, went out of business, and I showed up for work one day, and it was gone, and everything had been thrown in a dumpster. So I jumped in the dumpster, and I found this directory of all Defense Department prime contractors. And we sent each one of them a letter that says, hi, we're a small company in the IT business, and we'd like to be considered as a supplier. We sent out 3,000 letters, 300 people responded, and that company's been going now for 20 years.
That's a 10% return on your
mailing.
That's pretty good.
In fact, my advice to small business people is you need to be doing two things. You either doing business or trying to drum up business. A lot of small business owners will sit around and say, gosh, I don't have any business. And I advise people to, you know, get on the phone and start calling people and sending people emails and just, you know, try to drum up business and be aggressive about your pursuit of business. But if you get on the phone every day and make 100 phone calls, you're going to find some business.
Yeah, absolutely. So how long of a process? Let's say, you know, I'm an information provider and I want to get my How to Start a Business program into the SBA. I mean, that process could take a few months, I take it.
You know what? Yes and no. I've had situations where when I was younger and, I would call up a company and say, hi, we're in the IT industry. We'd like to, you know, do business with the guy. He goes, well, what's your price on this? And I'd give it to him and he'd go, here's the PO number.
No kidding.
Yeah, just boom. That's happened, you know, hundreds of times. You have to realize that corporations out there, prime contractors and federal agencies are many times desperate for reliable professional people to work with. I mean, just in your private life, you kind of look around where you live, and most people, you know, how's the service, you know, when you drop your car off to get it fixed, or when you go pick up your laundry, or just, you know, when you go to restaurants, how would you describe the level of service out there? It's not always that great. And it's the same way with the government and prime contractors. They're looking for really sharp, hardworking, you know, people to work with. And if you're someone that's got a good business and you're willing to put some time and energy into it and deliver on your promises, I think that there's, a big demand for companies like that in every single area that you can think of.
No kidding.
Yep.
No kidding.
Well, think of this. The federal acquisition budget is $500 billion a year. That's a half a trillion dollars.
What is the federal acquisition budget?
That's the amount of money that they spend buying goods and services.
Okay.
$500 billion a year. That's incredible.
Well, right now they're writing checks for $100 billion every other month to the effort in Iraq. So that's a separate budget than that.
You know, yeah, that's actually the Pentagon budget. That's different than that probably.
Okay.
You'd be shocked when you see the size, you know. Again, the government will place orders from $25 to, you know, $25 million every day, all day long. It's a volume of business that's difficult for most people to comprehend. And people shouldn't be intimidated by that because, a lot of times if you've got some good government business going, now you can go to your bank and work with the SBA and get an SBA guaranteed loan. So
okay.
You go out, you drum up some business, you put together a business plan, you go to your banker and say, look, you know, we've got a business arrangement with the Air Force. We're selling them, you know, these goods and services. We're doing this much a month. And I think if we could get a loan and hire some more people and, buy some new equipment, we could double our business.
We could increase the size of those contracts.
Yeah, actually. So, you know, one thing the SBA does is help small businesses get, you know, small business loans.
Right. Yeah, and I heard they're very good at that too.
Yeah, you know, again, I'm known as the SBA's biggest critic. And what I'm a critic of is not really the mission of the SBA, but I'm a critic of the people that are running it right now.
Okay, well, what is the status? Because I've heard things like that the SBA is underfunded and they've lost a lot of money because of the budget cuts and that sort of thing. Can you just give a snapshot on what's happening there?
When Ronald Reagan was president, the SBA budget was $1 billion a year, and that was around 1984. Well, it's now 2007. So if you count for inflation, you know, I would think that the budget these days would be, what do you think?
Probably
$5 billion?
$5 billion? I don't know. $20 billion?
It's less than one-tenth of that. Think about that. It's less than one-tenth of that. So when Bush took office, the SBA budget was around $1 billion, and he's cut it in half. So you've got a federal agency, the only federal agency that has the mission of helping America's 23 million companies, 23 million small businesses, and he's cut the budget in half. Now, again, I have to say I'm a true independent. I've got a picture in my office of me and President Bush's father. I've got a picture of me and Bill Clinton on the wall of my office. I have a picture of me and Gerald Ford. So I have to say I'm an independent. But when Bush comes out and talks about, you know, how important small businesses are to our economy and goes and gives these speeches around to small business groups, there's a dramatic difference in what he's doing and what he talks about. So would you believe someone who says, I think the small business is the heart of the U.S. economy, and then turns around and cuts the SBA budget in half? Kind of doesn't make sense.
So right now they're down around $500 million.
It's around $500 million. It's hard to pinpoint because it's, you know, the way they do it.
Okay, $500 million is not a big company in Fortune 500 standards.
Well, to tell you the truth, when you think about the federal budget, think of it this way: the Pentagon budget, I believe, is pushing $400 billion, and the SBA budget is $400 million. So I would probably think that the military spends what the SBA budget is a month on toilet paper. Right? You can't buy an airplane for what the SBA budget is. I had a rare opportunity to talk to a Bush attorney one time. And he told me, he was from Texas like I am, and we were talking. And he says the Bush administration intends to starve the SBA to death. And when you look at the budget cuts that they've done, they've laid off over half of the SBA employees. And I've been told by current SBA executives that the people they've laid off are the knowledge base, the experienced, knowledgeable people that can really, you know, help someone get started. Those are the people that they've let go. They've also let go all the people that are there to help minority companies. And one thing, again, that I think about the Bush administration that I think is very telling is when Bill Clinton left office, he signed a piece of legislation that was passed in the Congress establishing a 5% contracting goal for women-owned firms. Well, that's a great piece of legislation. You know, half the people in the country are women, and I think it's a great idea to give them, you know, 5% of the business.
It doesn't sound that equitable.
Yeah, it should be 50, right?
Right.
So 5% is, you know, very reasonable. The truth is the Bush administration has refused to implement that policy. I've never heard of that before. I've never heard of a federal law being passed. The president of the United States signed it. It becomes the law of the land. And the next president says, well, I don't like that. I'm not going to do it.
Okay, so who wouldn't – I mean, not that it really – I guess it does matter. But, I mean, like, the executive branch, Bush is not the only guy in there making decisions. He's got other people like Karl Rove and folks in there making those types of decisions. Why would they not push something like that through?
Well, you know, it's kind of a long story, but this is my belief. I believe the Republican Party is against – any kind of affirmative action or outreach program to help women, minorities, veteran-owned firms, and small businesses.
Why do you believe that?
Well, let's start with the woman-owned program. The U.S. Women's Chamber of Commerce had to get Covington Burling, one of the oldest, most powerful law firms in the country, to sue the Bush administration to implement the woman-owned program. They got a ruling from a federal judge directing the government to implement it. They still haven't implemented it. The SBA, there was an office at the SBA to help veteran-owned companies, veteran-owned businesses. They closed it. The
Bush administration closed it.
Yeah, the SBA The Bush administration, you know, directed the SBA to close that office. There's a presidential commission that's supposed to be a nonpartisan commission called the Civil Rights Commission. And it's supposed to have, you know, half Democrats and half Republicans. The story that I read about said that they Bush took a Republican lady, had her go change her voter registration independent so he could control the commission. And they issued a report about 18 months ago that said the federal government was doing too much business with minority businesses and should scale back. Now, that's in the face of the fact that the federal government has never hit the 5% minority business contracting goal. So we've covered women, veterans, and minorities. Now let's talk about small businesses. Since Bush was elected, they have tried to implement policies that, they have actually implemented policies, and you can see them on my website that have run on ABC, CBS, and NBC, that have directed up to 50% of all federal small business contracts to Fortune 500 corporations. About two summers ago, they tried to pass a policy that would allow venture capital companies like Chase Manhattan Bank, for example, to own the controlling interest in a small business, and the government could still consider that a small business. And one of my big I've been working on all day today, we're trying to get legislation to eliminate Fortune 500 firms from America's small business contracting program. And the Bush administration continues to implement legislation that allows companies like Boeing and Lockheed and Halliburton, Walmart and Microsoft and IBM to get billions in federal small business contracts. I saw a report 4 or 5 months ago that showed that in 2005, the largest recipient of federal small business contracts in this country was L3 Communications. They are a Fortune 500 defense contractor, and they received, get this, $650 million in federal small business contracts. So if your listeners would like to take a look at those stories, they can go to my website, asbl.com, and on the front page I've got links to the ABC, the CBS, and the CNN stories on that. And this story has been covered, I would say, in virtually every major newspaper in the country, the New York Times, the LA Times, the Chicago Tribune, you know, the San Francisco Chronicle. It was on the front page of the Miami Herald about a year ago. So it's you know. But again, I have to say objectively that when you look at what the Bush administration has done, I would have to say that they're anti-small business. And
okay,
that's a radical statement, particularly if someone's a Republican. But remember, you know, I'll have to say when I moved to California, I was a Republican. And I grew up in a, you know, Baptist Republican family, you know, in Texas. And George Bush, I'd have to say objectively, looking at his actions, not what he says, is not a friend of small businesses, woman-owned firms, minorities, or veteran-owned firms, and their actions are sort of, you know, would indicate that.
Well, let's talk about that for a second because, I mean, the small businesses in this country are probably 75% of the, you know, all employees are part of small businesses.
That's correct.
So we're the engine that basically pulls the train in the U.S. and if not the global economy.
Probably more than you know. Let me just throw down some quick statistics from the U.S. Census Bureau. I was shocked when I heard this the first time. 98% of all firms in America have less than 100 employees. 98% have less than 100 employees. 89% have less than 20. And the average American company has like 9 employees. Now, those companies are where around 50 – I'll take it back. It's close to 60% of the population works there. And get this, 98% of new jobs come from those small businesses, 90% of the exports, and the vast majority of the innovations. I didn't know this, but if you look at patents and innovation – something like 90% of the patents and innovations come from small businesses. So clearly, small businesses are the heart and soul of this nation's economy. And when you think about, you know, the one agency in Washington there to help small businesses, and they've cut the budget down to, you know, probably one tenth of what it should be, and they're trying to continue to cut it, it's really just very disheartening. And I think it's probably you know, surprising to most people. But, you know, if people, any of your listeners disagree with what I'm saying, the stories are out there. You don't have to listen to me. Just, you know, type in SBA budget cuts or Google SBA budget, and, you know, they're out there. So it's, you know, I'm not just giving my opinion. I'm just talking about the facts and the things that really are a matter of historical record.
Got it. So, I mean, it's like, so looking at the candidates that are coming out today, I mean, one of the things that I've tried to do, and I shared this with you on the pre-interview, is I would love the opportunity to have a conversation, a 10-minute conversation with some of the bigger presidential and even the smaller presidential candidates that are coming up for election in 2008, and get 10 minutes of their time. And I've been finding it basically very difficult to get very far. However, John McCain, they did get back to me and say that they would possibly schedule an interview. Hillary Clinton said, get back to us later.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Barack Obama and John Edwards, you know, I sent a small media, I'm small media, so I said, you know, I wanted to communicate with them, you know, from a media perspective. I'd like to try to get an interview with them. And they both sent me back emails that said, we want your money and we want your vote.
There you go.
Welcome to
America.
Okay, here's the problem. If they can't run their website correctly, why would I believe that they're going to have a better go at it, you know, running the U.S. government when it's as enormous as it is?
I'll tell you something. I've had some unique experiences in my life. I've been in the living room of the president of Chevron Oil when the first President Bush was president, and got a chance to talk to him. I've been in a small room with Bill Clinton and some other people having lunch. And I've been in the Senate dining room. I've had some experience in my life where I was really sort of up close and personal with American politics, and I don't think back on those memories fondly, because I'll have to say I'm very disappointed with the way things are. I've been to Democratic fundraisers where they sort of make fun of people that are successful or rich people, you might say. And I've been to Republican fundraisers where they make fun of anybody, you know, that makes less than $100,000 a year. And I don't see and have never seen anyone who appears to represent all of America. They all seem to represent, you know, segments of the country. But I've never met anyone that I thought would really represent all Americans. And to tell you the truth, the sad truth about our government and politics is, I saw Barack Obama on television. He says to be in the U.S. Senate, you have to raise $50,000 a day. A day, just to stay in the Senate. Now, if you want for president.
Stay in there.
Pardon?
Just to stay in?
Just to stay in the Senate.
Really?
Now, think about running for president, the kind of money you've got to raise. So when you've got to raise that kind of money, who has that kind of money? Small business owners? No. AT&T's got that kind of money. Exxon's got that kind of money, right? Lockheed's got that kind of money. You know, Fortune 500 corporations have that kind of money. So unfortunately, when you think about a member of Congress or someone that's running for president, they're going to hear the opinions of Fortune 500 corporations, and they're not going to hear the opinions of what the American people want. I actually had a politician tell me something one time. I was giving him a ride someplace, and he said that when you get elected to Congress, you don't represent the people in your district. You represent the special interests in your district that finance your campaign. And unfortunately, that's true. But I think I'd like to see small businesses in America sort of rise up and revolt almost. Small businesses could control this country.
Okay, now we're on the same page there. I did some research as well, and
mm-hmm.
You know, as I try to convince or enroll these politicians to go to get a 10-minute, just a 10-minute interview, just like we're doing right now. You know, and I found that in the popular vote in 2004 in New Hampshire, there was about 680,000 voters total.
Mm-hmm.
And of which, in the state of New Hampshire, there's about 31,000 small businesses that are defined by the SBA small businesses,
mm-hmm.
employing over 304,000 employees or jobs.
Mm-hmm.
So you would have to think that 304,000 jobs in the state of New Hampshire is basically about half of the popular vote.
Yep.
Now, I believe that everybody in this country is, quote, pro-small business. At least you would think every voter is pro-small business,
mm-hmm.
because we all know somebody that owns a shop or owns a business or is a consultant or an entrepreneur. Everybody knows somebody that's a small business owner. So I would think that they would want to talk to a small business guy like me just because that in itself would be huge news, in my view. Anyway, and they could leverage that from a media standpoint. But, you know, so I just have to keep doing it in order to get some of these interviews to stick.
Yeah. I'll tell you something when I think about politics and small businesses and the power that we can have. In the last two presidential elections, I believe Bush won by right around one percentage point. Is that your recollection?
Yeah, I think that there was almost like a tie thing going on
yeah.
in Florida.
Yeah.
They were counting votes and holding them up to the sunlight.
Yeah. In this recent election where the Democrats took over Congress, I think they won by, I'll say, around 1%. So small businesses make up, 98% of U.S. firms. It's where around 60% of the population works. If we could communicate to small businesses the fact that, this administration, has not been pro-small business, and to tell you the truth, I'll have to say I'm not completely thrilled with what I'm seeing the Democrats doing, and could get organized, small businesses could be, I think, the most powerful group in the country because just the number of people. But here's something that sounds real sort of conspiratorial, but let me ask you, what group represents small businesses in America? Who would you say? If I'm a small business owner and I want to call somebody to lobby Congress for me, who would I call?
There is nobody.
Well?
The SBA isn't going to lobby for me, but the Better Business Bureau isn't going to lobby for me.
Well, sometimes I'll be talking to people in the media, and they'll say, well, the National Federation of Independent Business or the U.S. Chamber of Commerce. Now, if you look at the National Federation of Independent Business website, or the U.S. Chamber website, I forget which one of them is, but I think maybe both of them, they claim to be the voice of small business in America. So let's talk about this issue about the diversion of federal small business contracts to Fortune 500 corporations. The SBA Inspector General says one of the biggest problems facing our nation today. It's been in every major newspaper in the country, 500 stories. It's been on every major television network. Try to find that issue mentioned in the National Federation of Independent Business website. Try to find it mentioned in the U.S. Chamber of Commerce website. Last time I looked, it's not there. In fact, here's something that I hope is persuasive. So the SBA budget's been cut in half. We've got $60 billion a year in small business contracts going to big companies. How could that have happened if the NFIB or the U.S. Chamber were effectively representing small businesses? Can you imagine what would happen if you try to pass legislation that was going to negatively impact lawyers or doctors?
They'd start screaming and they'd scream loud.
You'd have to, move to another town or something, right? It'd be significant. But you can pass legislation that damages small business all day long and nobody says anything.
Because they're not connected.
Well, here's something, again, and I hate to, again, sound like a conspiracy nut, but I was told by, I want to say, a half a dozen members of Congress, probably 15 congressional staffers, and a guy who used to work at the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, that the U.S. Chamber of Commerce is a conservative Republican organization whose mission is to lobby for tax reform for Fortune 500 corporations. And they do that under the guise of acting like they represent small businesses. And if you go look at a conservative Republican think tank like the American Enterprise Institute, and look at their agenda, it's a tax reform, less government, and tort reform. If you go look at the U.S. Chamber and NFIB website, it's the exact same thing. So think about small businesses in America. tax reform. Well, everybody wants to pay fewer taxes, right? I sometimes make this example. If you visualize a yellow cigar-shaped balloon floating in the air in front of you, the left-hand side represents small businesses' tax burden, and the right-hand side represents Fortune 500 corporations' tax burden. If you take both hands and squeeze the right-hand side that represents the Fortune 500 corporations' tax burden, what happens? It just shifts down to the left, right?
Yep.
So if you cut taxes for Fortune 500 corporations, you're going to be raising taxes for small businesses and the general public. So, you know, tax reform is probably not such a good idea for small businesses because it's going to benefit large companies more, which will shift the tax burden to small companies. Let's talk about tort reform. We see lawsuits, asbestos lawsuits, the lawsuits against Dow Corning, the lawsuits against drug companies, against car companies, the tobacco lawsuits. Big corporations want tort reform, so the public, when they're damaged by these drugs that haven't been properly tested, or products, you know, cars that explode when they're in wrecks, you know, and just products that they're not, you know, properly engineered, big corporations don't want to have to pay out these big damages. So tort reform is something that benefits large corporations. A small business owner with 9 employees is not sitting around worrying about tort reform.
Right.
It's not a big problem, right? And then let's talk about less government. So who wants less government? Exxon wants less government. Mobile wants less government, right? But small business owners aren't really, you know, plagued with, you know, too much government regulation. In fact, quite frankly, when I'm paying, you know, $3 a gallon for gasoline, I'm thinking that we probably need more regulation on oil companies, not less. You know, when I see defense contractors like Halliburton, you know, getting multi-billion-dollar no-bid contracts and then moving their corporate headquarters to Dubai, I'm thinking, you know, we probably need some more regulation for those guys. So,
well, I mean, let's be honest, though. I mean, some of those, I don't know many small businesses that are going to actually go over to Dubai and do, you know, oil drilling type of, you know, putting out fires of,
yeah,
you know, those types of things. I mean, that's really set. You really need a large government type contractor, what you call prime contractors, I guess, to handle some of those things, and then they bring in the consultants, you know, the independent operators that can do that. So, you know, I guess in some ways I understand where you're coming from, but in other ways, I mean, I sympathize with the government as well, you know, that they've got to have. I mean, obviously Jim Peek and My Success Gateway is not qualified to build an operating system for computers, so I think I'll leave that to Microsoft.
Well, remember that the federal law says that small businesses shall receive 23% of the total value of all prime contracts and subcontracts. So yes, you're right, Jim. Small businesses can't go and, you know, put out oil fires in Iraq, but they can sell pens and pencils and paper clips and computers to the companies that are doing that
all day long. Yeah.
Yeah. In fact, there's actually a federal law that requires or allows prime contractors to use what's called indirect dollars to hit their small business goal. So for a big prime contractor like Lockheed, direct dollars would be considered if you're having someone build a wing structure for you. That's a direct part of the contract. But someone that's providing office chairs or office products or computers or screens or monitors or travel services, those are indirect dollars. So clearly there's enough business in this country and products that small businesses can provide for the government to hit that goal, and prime contractors to hit that goal. But they're just, you know, they won't do it. There's almost kind of an anti-small business mentality, I'll have to say, in government. And the reason I know this is my father was a federal contracting official. And he used to come home at night and talk about it. So I know that, you know, that there is sort of an anti, you know, small business attitude a lot of times in various parts of the government. In fact,
okay,
I've heard people sort of regurgitate their little, you know, scripts that they were taught. I was talking to a retired Air Force officer one time, and he says, well, you know, the reason the Air Force doesn't buy more from small businesses is because we need to husband the taxpayer's dollar and get the best value, right? I almost laughed in his face for two reasons. First of all, for the government to buy from small businesses is the best investment, you know, for American dollars. Doesn't it make sense to do business with the companies where most Americans work and where most of the tax revenue comes from?
Yep.
When was the last time you saw a story in the paper where a small business was charged the government $400 for a hammer? You don't see those, right?
Right.
But every day you see stories where large, you know, contractors are cheating the government. A lot of people didn't see this story, but Boeing had to pay a $614 million fine for defrauding the government. An upper-level Boeing executive went to prison. Halliburton was found in audit to have overcharged the government, I think something like it was over $1 billion.
Okay, so the foxes are in the hen house, and occasionally they get, you know, the farmer comes in there and they shoot the fox, and the fox gets tossed out. And obviously that's gonna continue to happen, in not only in business with the government, but we've seen it with Enron and you know, Tyco.
Exactly.
And places. So
fraud, and people that are, you know, not giving the taxpayers the best value for the money comes from Fortune 500 corporations, not small businesses. Small businesses are providing, you know, good service and a good value and a competitive price, and there's no reason for this administration, this government, not to hit their congressionally mandated small business goal.
Got it. So okay, let's talk about the present, you know, the field of candidates that are out there today that might be, quote, pro small business, because I did a survey on the big six candidates between Romney, McCain, Giuliani, Obama, Edwards, and who's the other one? The other Democrat, Hillary.
Yeah.
And you know, I didn't see anything in there about small business. And I guess if you dig around hard enough, you could see either a video or a press release about, you know, something about that they're doing something with about business in general, and that's great. But there's no formatted way for which to ascertain this information. Forget small business. It could be Iraq. It could be seniors. It could be, you know, Social Security. It could be any number of things on any one of these issues. Who do you see out there today that's potentially a candidate that might be pro small business, that's got an agenda that might support small businesses?
I have to say I don't see anybody.
Okay, so let's – all right, so you don't see anybody.
Well,
then who
go to their websites and see if you can see their proposals to stop fraud in federal small business contracting. Again, the issue of the diversion of small business contracts to Fortune 500 corporations, it's been all over the media for 4 years. So
you don't see anybody. So and it seems like today that there's nobody that's going to take this tact, even though there's 23 to 27 million companies that are out there, mm-hmm. that are, quote, considered small business. So that's a big, like I illustrated earlier, you know, it's almost half of the popular vote in New Hampshire of 2004. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're talking about some very big numbers, Lloyd, and if corralled and correctly, I think that, you know, a lot of somebody can make, we can make a big statement as small businesses.
Sure.
One thing that I heard was, you know, what I'm looking for in a president is a problem solver more than anything else, somebody that can solve problems and not make excuses. I mean, because it's real easy to make excuses. And we're seeing that today. I mean, I see you taking action on what's happening. So you're not making excuses. You're just saying what it is.
I'm doing something about it.
You're doing something about it, and I commend you on your efforts on that. So you know, one guy that was mentioned was Mayor Bloomberg,
mm-hmm.
and here's a guy that you know, obviously has been very successful in his career, and he's you know, he's made a lot of money, and he's now in New York City, and he's doing a good job there, and it seems like he's, quote, solving a lot of problems. Although I'm not intimately familiar with what the current problems are in New York, as I was when I was living there, you know, 10 years ago. So you don't see anybody. I mean, my feeling is, you know, I would like to see somebody who is accomplished that isn't, you know, possibly part of the old. The old
yeah.
regime.
Here's an interesting concept to think about. Again, you can't get elected president without taking millions and millions of dollars from Fortune 500 corporations. So
that's just the way it is.
You're a Democrat or Republican or independent, whatever you think, anyone who's in the White House is there because they took hundreds of millions of dollars from Fortune 500 corporations. And you'll notice, no matter who's president, whether it's Bill Clinton or George Bush, you'll notice big corporations, you know, pretty much getting any piece of legislation that they want, and big corporations being able to do just about anything that they want to do, because they're the ones that sort of fund the entire political process in America. Think about that. You know, anyone running for Congress, you know, anyone running for president, you're going to take money, and I'll have to say the primary source of funds for people are large corporations. That's why it's so hard to get campaign finance reform.
Right. I know McCain.
It's so hard to get that done. So I just don't see anybody running for president who's going to really pay much attention to small business because, number one, small businesses aren't organized very well. There's no group right now that's really representing their interests effectively. I'm hoping to change that with the American Small Business League. And I clearly think when you compare the American Small Business League to every other group in the country, I think we've done more. We've won 6 lawsuits. We've got hundreds of stories in the press. We're, you know, changing legislation.
Go ahead.
Small businesses just need to get more organized, and they need to ask these politicians, what are you going to do to help small business?
Well, I guess what we have to do, Lloyd, is draft a candidate, right?
Well, you know, Jonathan Edwards was on the Senate Small Business Committee.
Okay.
So, you know, he's familiar with the issues, but I'll have to say I actually tried to talk with his staff one time. I sat in his office for an hour waiting to talk to somebody, and they never had time to meet with me. I just left. But, you know, he was on the committee, and, you know, he knows something about it. But, see, here's another interesting thing. Right now, and, again, I keep going about this issue of the diversion of small business contracts to big companies. You've got Fortune 500 corporations that are getting around $50 billion in federal small business contracts. So what do you think is going to happen if you're running for president and you say, and if I'm elected president, I'm going to take that $50 billion away from the Fortune 500 corporations and give it to small businesses? What do you think is going to happen?
Those big corporations are going to pull out of that.
Exactly. And your political career is over. See? So it's really kind of a dilemma. I think
now,
small businesses.
Now I understand. I get it. Okay.
Yeah. So, you know, to be pro-small business, you have to be anti-big business, quite frankly.
Well, wait a minute. I mean, can't you be both? I mean,
well, let's just say when it comes to the federal marketplace, and you're talking about where to spend, you know, federal dollars. If you take contracts and move them from big companies to small companies, the big companies don't like that. In fact, quite frankly, you know, the big companies are the ones that fund, you know, a lot of these organizations that I think are probably anti-small business, like the U.S. Chamber, the NFIB. You know, the American Enterprise Institute. The American Enterprise Institute, by the way, this time last year was putting forth the notion that the Small Business Administration needs to be closed and all federal programs for small businesses should be eliminated. Is that anti-small business?
Well, that's no business. I mean,
yeah. So the American Enterprise Institute, a woman named Veronique DeRuggi, was testifying at a congressional hearing that I think Oklahoma Senator Colburn was having, and said this government should end all federal programs for women, minorities, veterans, and small businesses. That's about as radical and anti-small business position as you can adopt. And that's the American Enterprise Institute. And if you look again at the American Enterprise Institute's political agenda, it's identical. It is absolutely identical to the political agenda of the U.S. Chamber and the National Federation of Independent Business. So, you know, again, I think the small businesses just need to get more organized and be aware of these issues and become informed and, you know, start letting these candidates know that they want to know what you're going to do for small business. Demand it.
Yeah. I mean, this election is probably the single biggest opportunity to make that happen.
Well, quite frankly, you know, I'm actually working today on a project where we're trying to encourage small businesses to contact their members of Congress. So right now, the House Committee on Small Businesses has proposed a piece of legislation called the Fairness in Small Business Contracting Act, and it's going to let Fortune 500 corporations keep billions in small business contracts. One thing that small business owners can do that listen to this program is contact their members of Congress and say, we want some legislation that simply gets Fortune 500 corporations out of this country's small business contracting program.
So
pick up the phone, make a call, send an email, and let your congressman know that you want Fortune 500 corporations out of this country's small business contracting program immediately.
So can we write up a templated letter that we could they could go to your website and pick
sure.
that up and you know
I'm working on that today actually. We're
can you
actually
wrap that and then forward that to me and I'll put that up on our site.
All right.
As well.
I'm working on it right now, actually. That was what I was doing before we started talking.
It doesn't even have to be more than a paragraph, I'm sure, to make the point, you know, to get that to get that out there. And I mean, that's what I love about this country. I mean, you can we have the ability to communicate with the government, whether we like them or not. And, but I think sometimes a lot of, you know, being a little bit cynical, it can fall on deaf ears.
You know, I'll tell you something that that your listeners can do, maybe do me a favor. I'm trying to find small businesses that are sick and tired of this baloney and are willing to talk to the media about it. And I've got reporters calling me every day from all across the country. I said, Lloyd, I want to find some small business owners that are disgruntled that I can talk to for this story. And a lot of people are afraid for some reason. That's just kind of silly. You can't bring about change if you're afraid. So anybody that wants to help out and get involved can contact me at ASBL.com. And if you want to talk to the press, I've got lots of reporters who want to talk to small business people and hear what they've got to say about the way the government's treating small businesses these days.
That's an opportunity there. I mean, you know, that's what we call, you know, I did an interview with Al Lautenschlager. And he wrote a book with a guy named J. Conrad Levinson called Guerrilla Marketing in 30 Days.
Mm-hmm.
And the number one guerrilla marketing tactic is to get free press.
Yep.
Now, you know, being quoted as an expert, you know, an expert small business or what have you in the press is a great opportunity for you to put in your URL and the name of your company so that people find you should they acquire
Absolutely.
Some of your products and services, and we're talking about some big publications now, aren't we?
I've gotten dozens and dozens of small business owners in newspaper and magazine television stories. One member of the American Small Business League was on a CNN story, and it helped their business. But I've talked to lots of people that were featured in newspaper magazine stories that we've done, and it always helps their business. And that's probably the quickest way someone can get their business out there is to get in a newspaper or get in a magazine and get on television and not be afraid to talk about, you know, your problems and what you think needs to be changed about the way the government treats small businesses. I would encourage people to, quite frankly, just call all the media in your area and say, hey, I'm a small business owner and, you know, I'm not happy about the government giving billions of dollars a month in small business contracts to large companies. I think you should do a story about it. Sounds kind of funny, but you'd be shocked. Any of your listeners or yourself can get on the phone and start calling all the media in your area, and I'd be surprised if you made 10 phone calls if you didn't get a story.
Well, you know, it's funny that you bring that up. We've got an e-seminar called How to Get on the 6 o'clock News,
mm-hmm.
and that's we kid around with it, you know, that how to get on the 6 o'clock News without committing a felony or being indicted
mm-hmm.
or something of that sort, and. You know, the coach there, Larry Emsweller, who's a mass media insider, he talks about going local as opposed to going national. And we just did that the other day, as a matter of fact. We were published in the local newspaper here,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, there is a chance that the article could get national legs because we talk about just that. I mean, you know, some of the issues that we're facing as a small business and how I want to get on and speak to some of the candidates and get their views on where they're going to take, you know, small businesses.
Great idea. It's a great idea. I called the LA Times one day just on a fluke and started talking about an issue. The next thing I knew, they'd done a 8x10 color picture of me in the front page of the business section. I called the Associated Press. I called a guy named Larry Margaset at the Associated Press. He wrote a story about this issue about large companies getting small business contracts. It ran in around 40 newspapers all across the country. And I think it got picked up actually in Singapore and London just off of a phone call. So people need to get on the phone and call the media in their area and try to get them excited about the issue of small businesses not being treated, you know, properly by the government, and the diversion of federal small business contracts to Fortune 500 corporations. I bet you if you got 100 of your listeners to make 10 phone calls apiece, you'd get 100 stories about it in a week.
Mm-hmm.
That's how you bring about change.
Wow. So, okay, folks, the challenge is out there. Lloyd is, and that's one way to do it. I mean, it's a grassroots effort, and one voice at a time can make a difference.
Absolutely.
Wow. So any success stories in doing business with the government? I'm sure you've seen some small businesses do very well by landing some government contracts. Can you talk about some of those?
Well, you know, of course, I've talked to hundreds and hundreds of small businesses over the years, and I think the number one thing is to have a business plan, be properly financed. Most small businesses that don't make it because they're undercapitalized. And another thing that happens to small businesses is as soon as they start to make money, they take too much money out of their business. And but just be persistent and diligent and work hard. When I first was in business myself, I actually used to sleep on the floor to save time. I didn't have to drive home and come back to the office. I slept on the floor in a sleeping bag probably off and on for maybe a couple of 2 or 3 months. I was working so many hours. And but you've got to be driven and motivated and goal-oriented and expect to be successful. In fact, I've got a little philosophy that I live by. I refuse to accept anything other than the accomplishing my goals. I refuse. And I refuse to accept failure. And I'll do whatever it takes. And most people in this world don't have passionate goals. When they run up against somebody that's got a very passionate goal and they refuse to accept no for an answer, or they refuse to accept failure as an option, you know, you prevail. And particularly when you're talking about doing business with the government, there's very few people, you know, with the government that are really passionate about their jobs. So you just have to be passionate. And, again, my advice to people is expect to win. You deserve it. You're an American, and you have the right to participate in these small business programs as they were designed by Congress. And if someone won't let you do it, you need to, you know, speak out and let them know that you're not going to put up with that. What was that movie several years ago? The guy stuck his head out the window and said, "I'm mad as hell. I'm not going to take it anymore." With Faye Dunaway and Laurence Olivier, I think. What was that movie? Network.
Yeah.
That's what, you know, think about 23 million small businesses and all their employees calling up the White House one day and said, "Hey, George, you know, we're tired of you giving $1 billion a week in federal small business contracts to Fortune 500 companies. We're not going to put up with it anymore." Call your congressman and tell him that. You know, you remember seeing the Hispanic people all around the country protesting a few months ago? You remember that?
Protesting.
Well, they were protesting for a change in immigration law. Every major city had these huge protests.
Yes, I do. Yep.
You remember that?
Yep, I do.
Here's something that I think might be true. I've never seen a million small businesses, you know, marching in the streets of Washington demanding change. So think about how crazy it would be if this would be true, that illegal aliens who aren't U.S. citizens that have come here from another country may have more political clout than the small businesses that are a foundation of this nation's economy. Is that like a wacky idea?
Say that again, please.
Well, I saw thousands and thousands of illegal aliens in the streets of every major city in America and Washington protesting and demanding change in immigration laws. You've heard about the Million Man March, where African-American men descended on Washington demanding change, right?
Yes.
You haven't seen a million small businesses, you know, marching the streets of Washington, D.C. demanding change.
Or lower taxes.
For anything. You know, they should demand at least that they're getting the 23% of federal contracts that they're supposed to get by law. But it could be true that these illegal aliens, you know, that were protesting for change in immigration law may have more clout in this country and may have more impact on our government than small business owners, because they're better organized. So just think about, have you ever seen at any point in your life a massive protest of small business owners about the way the government treats them? Have you ever seen that in your entire lifetime?
I have not, sir.
Yeah. I think it's time for that. I think it's time for the Million Man Small Business March in Washington, and let Congress know and let the President of the United States know, you know, that we're sick and tired of you giving all this, you know, federal small business contracts to big companies, and, you know, call their congressmen and just demand change. Sounds kind of funny, but, you know, I don't want to get on a soapbox here, but we're Americans. We run this country. George Bush works for us. We don't work for him. Your congressman works for you. They're voted into office. And if small business owners, you know, want something to change, they need to start voting and getting out and letting these candidates know, unless you can tell me very clearly what you're going to do to help small businesses, I'm not going to vote for you. And we can make it an issue in this next election. In fact, I intend to go out to Iowa and New Hampshire and personally, you know, start talking to the media and small business owners and try to make this an election, try to make small business issues an issue in the next presidential campaign.
Well, when you come to New Hampshire, make sure you contact me because
I will.
I'm only a hop, skip, and a jump away from there.
All right. Well, you might see me up there.
I mean, I want to just touch on. I know we're coming up on an hour.
Yeah.
We'll be even over an hour now. But the one thing I wanted to touch on was, you know, healthcare for small businesses. Obviously, that's a big nut. For, you know, benefits are a big nut for small businesses. What are the options for small businesses in the healthcare arena and, you know, that you are aware of today, if anything?
You know, Jim, I have to say that I am so focused on this issue of federal contracting that healthcare is really not an issue that I'll have to say I'm up on.
Okay, fair enough.
I mean, when people ask me about that, here's what I think about, here's my response. Healthcare is a problem. We need to do something to reduce the cost of healthcare in this country. I think it's doable. I think it's possible. Other countries around the world are able to do it. Canada's doing a good job of it, so I think we can do it. But again, when I compare the magnitude of the problems, when I think about, you know, $65 billion a year in federal dollars that should be going to small businesses, they're going to be corporations. If, let's just say this, if you're a small business owner, if we can get that $65 billion in federal contracts away from the Fortune 500 corporations and back to the hands of small businesses, without question, they're going to be able to afford healthcare better than they are today. Right? So
right.
I think of healthcare as sort of in a priority of other issues, right? But clearly it's a problem and I'm, you know, people talk about it all the time, but again, it's just not the issue that I'm focused on right now.
Got it. So we as small businesses can find success by landing government contracts, by picking up the phone and finding the prime contractors as well as the federal offices that are in our area and letting them know that we do have services that are available. At reasonable prices and deliverability.
Absolutely. And tell everyone you talk to with the government and with prime contractors, I want to participate in your small business contracting program. Tell me how that works. So if they start talking to you about, you know, your prices or whatever, say, well, that's great. Why don't you tell me about how your small business contracting program works, your congressionally, federally mandated small business contracting program. And I think we all have the right to demand that these prime contractors, these federal agencies, hit their small business goals. And by the way, a report came out a few weeks ago that said the Bush administration has missed the congressionally mandated small business goal for the seventh consecutive year. So there's certainly more opportunity, you know, out there for small businesses.
Yeah, and I think that we just have to be a lot more proactive about it as well.
Yeah, to be proactive and aggressive, I'll have to say.
Very good. Well, listen, this has been great, and I think we're, you know, not unless you've got anything else to add. I mean, I would like to begin the wrap up, if that's
yeah,
okay.
Yeah, I'd just like to ask anyone that listens to your program to join the American Small Business League. It's free. Our website is asbl.com. We're fighting every day from dawn to dusk to try to get the federal government to quit, cheating small businesses out of these federal contracts. We're making a lot of progress, but we need more help. We need people to join. We need people to get active. We need people to talk to the media. And my goal is to recover $50 billion a year in federal small business contracts from large corporations and get them back in the hands of small businesses. And, we're making a lot of progress, and you can see the stories on our website.
That's awesome. Well, Lloyd, you'll definitely have to come back and keep us updated, and we'll obviously be in touch. So, this has been great. So, Lloyd Chapman, President and CEO of American Small Business League, and you can find them over at www.asbl.com. And this is Jim Peek from MySuccessGateway.com.
Thanks, Jim.
Thank you, Lloyd.